Yo, what up, Grizz Nation, and welcome back to Grizz 901, your favorite post-game show in all of the land. Listen, the Grizzlies take down what it was of the Pistons, whatever that might have been. But the Grizzlies, the G League team, the two-way players, the people that get signed for the year coming off of G League onto regular contract, there's so much going on that roster from Skyhooks to Trey Jamison just dominating Jalen Duren tonight. Tonight was a good night. The Grizzlies do win the 108-90 over the Pistons. And so we're going to hit on that, kind of just recap the game from the very start. And then we're going to get into a little bit of Grizz trivia. And then we're going to hit on some more draft coverage because we have an expert. Don't tell anybody, but we have an expert here who's going to hit on all of your draft questions. So if you would, everybody welcome in David Williams. He is going to come in here. Make sure you put in there hashtag David so he can ask or answer all of your questions. Let's get to the show. Yo, what up, Dave?
What's up, man? Expert's a little strong, but I'll take it.
Hey, we're going to call you an expert because if we don't, then nobody will. So we're going to go ahead and just keep doing that, man.
All right.
Hey, but hey, welcome to the show. Listen, we have never actually talked face-to-face, so this is our first time. So I appreciate you coming on here and coming on the show. I promise you, like, our fans, which I can't expect many to be here tonight, but they're filing in decently tonight. They're going to have a lot of questions for you. So do me a favor, as you all file in here, hit hashtag, David, hashtag draft expert, hashtag hey idiot, look here, whatever you want, please do that so I can actually see them. But tell us a little bit about you, because people that might not be as familiar with you, they can always follow you at NBA DWill21. But a little bit about you.
So I started a podcast for a company called Sports Ethos covering the Grizzlies. Man, it was, I think, Jaren's rookie year. It was around Jaren or Ja's rookie year. And it just kind of built it up. And I started off with a different co-host. Isaac came along a little bit later. And then the show kind of took off. We become credentialed media members, or became credentialed media members down in Memphis. So, we got a lot of access. I've had some health stuff going on recently. Okay. So I've stepped away from that and just kind of focusing on taking care of life, honestly. So yeah. I've always loved basketball. Grizzlies were my favorite team at the time. Sports Ethos didn't have anybody covering them, so right. I reached out. Dan's like, hey, if you want to do it, we got to go over some stuff, but you can take off with it. So been covering them pretty heavy since. I'm 90-ish% sure that we were looking at Jaren's rookie year. And then, obviously Ja Morant coming along made that growth a whole lot easier. So that's a plus. And then digging into the draft, I've always kind of paid attention a lot to the first round guys. Over the last probably 5 or 6 years, I've really enjoyed getting into watching film, like watching game film. You can see highlight reels all day long, but going in and watching these guys, seeing what they're doing without the ball in their hands, what they're doing on the defensive end of the floor, what happens if they make a mistake on the offensive floor, are they quitting, are they following through? So yeah, just kind of basketball is a drug to me and I can't get enough of it. I love it.
I feel you, man. Well, first thing, prayers up to you for whatever's going on. And so obviously, you're going to kick, whatever it might be, whether it's you or somebody else, always prayers up to you. And, very much so, we hope for all the best. But I didn't know that you were gone off of the Sports Ethos Grizzlies show.
Yeah, man, it's recent. I haven't really talked about it. I had some weird stuff going on. And initially it was diagnosed as a stroke. And now we don't know what it is. So I'm still going for testing and stuff like that. And so I just kind of reached out to Dan with Sports Ethos. And I'm like, man, right now I need to step back from that.
Yeah.
Candace and Isaac are still going to be doing the show, but Isaac is in the hospital right now. And then Candace just had a baby. So the entire team was really kind of just under the weather. It's been a rough year, but they're going to keep it going. And so it's fresh, like within the last couple of weeks here.
Sheesh, dude. All right.
It's not all doom and gloom though. Like, I guess we decided to, match tone with the Grizzlies this year, right?
Yeah, the entire sports ethos Grizzlies is on the IR for sure. But, hey, listen, I can't thank you enough for being here. I always try to, look around and find somebody that I have connected with in the past. I want to kind of have on here. And even through a kind of a rough season, my promise to our crew that we have that's in the chat right now is always to try to bring in somebody different, different point of view to kind of look at things a little bit different because of the way the season's gone. And so my co-host is actually out on the slopes. I don't even know where he is. He's somewhere where it's cold. He's on the slopes right now. And so he will not be joining us for about a week. And so we're going to have a different guest on. And I've had your name written down many a times, and I just never have, brought you on just because we haven't needed somebody to come on. So I finally just said, you know what, let me reach out. But sometimes there is some hazing involved with our guests. And so it's all in good fun. But as King Meek says, may look like beefs with Eminem looking like Mobley. I don't even know what that is. But King Meek is funny. Let's go. So you might get some, they might poke fun at you just for fun. So anyway,
yeah, that's good.
All right. So let's get into the game tonight. So the Grizzlies obviously win 108-90, kind of off the top rope. What's your thoughts about the game?
I like the double double from Trey, right? He's the guy that's getting the run this year just because of the injuries. You don't see him if the season is not the way that it is. Right. So, does he develop into somebody that they can play in a playoff rotation? I don't know. I'm not there with him yet, but seeing him, Jalen Duren has had a fantastic year.
Right.
The fact that he was able to go out there and kind of, outplay him tonight, that's pretty impressive. And Duren is not a guy that you're going to hear a lot of people saying he's in the upper echelon of centers in the league, but he's still really done a great job this year. So two young guys going at it, and tonight Jemison got the best of him.
Yeah. Trey Jemison looked good, man. And honestly, he's always looked good when he's kind of been thrown into a little bit of a starting spot or maybe a spot where he needs to produce. But looking at the stats tonight, he did come off with a double-double, and he did get the start. But Trey Jemison had 17 points, 13 rebounds, and an assist, 7-9 from the floor overall. GG had 15, 3-4. Jake Laravia, 12, 5-2. Jordan Goodwin, he hurt his ankle there. Did he come back in after that? I don't even think I remember seeing him again after it was towards the end of the third quarter, I believe.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't remember him getting back in there. I don't either. I can pull it up. I'll pull it up in the box and look, but I'm almost positive that he did not.
Yeah, I don't remember that at all. But Jordan Goodwin, 14, 6-6, just another solid night out of him. 2-2 from deep, 2-4 from deep for Scottie Pippen Jr. with 16, 3-7. And then Lamar Stevens, who was the international player of the game for the Grizzlies, was 15-8-1. Whatever his first name is, Pereira, 17-9. And then the Skyhook himself was 2-2-3. Anybody else impress you out of that? Because I think if you look at this, everybody but Mr. Skyhook Simpson, what's his name? Xavier Simpson. Mm-hmm. Everybody was in double digits tonight, which is incredible from really just looking at, the way this team is made up and how really there's no superstar on the team. And GG's probably our best player. And I don't even know if he didn't even lead the team in scoring. So the fact that everybody was in double digits outside of our guy who just joined the team last week is on a 10-day. It's pretty amazing, honestly.
Yeah, everybody got shots up tonight. Yeah, he just didn't get many to fall. Actually, only got one to fall. So I think even going back to when this team was healthier, they seem to play at their best when everybody eats. Exactly. And that's, this year has been awful. So I think that Taylor Jenkins, you go back like the first half, I think they had, it was above 10, like 11 or 12 turnovers they force in the first half. Yeah. And that's, that is what Jenkins wants. He wants them to get after the ball, force turnovers, and turn that defense into the offense. They were able to do that. And, I think they ended up with 24, 25 assists on the game. So just a good night overall.
Yeah. It was. And it was a good team game. I want to look at the 3-point percentage because at one time I heard him talk that we were shooting 40-ish percent. Yeah, so we came down to earth, obviously, 32.3%. So I don't think the skyhook himself, Xavier Simpson, helped us on that one. But 32.3, 10-31 overall. You know, we out-rebounded them 49-38, which is big for, you know, this team. But this team and who they are, I expect us to out-rebound a team that's depleted like the Detroit. But assists 24 and 22. Overall, you know, nothing really bad in the box score. The points in the paint, 60 to 38. And that's really what it comes down to is they were getting to the front of the rim and they could kind of pass the ball around and get to easier high percentage shots. So, listen, there's not much to cover about this game, honestly, because this is probably one of the sleepiest games. I didn't even watch most of it, being honest. Because it was a game where I'm watching the Braves play. I watched South Carolina versus NC State girls. I watched everything, and I kept just flipping around trying to see through it. But all in all, you know, it was a game that you kind of like a lunch pail game, in my opinion. That's what it looked like to me. In my, you know, just overall thoughts.
Yeah. That's, you know, when you're in a they've been in tanking mode, and tonight was just. Just one of those. I saw that. I saw the comment in chat. I almost started cracking up.
Yeah, Wayno says. So Wayne is from, Australia? Austria or Australia? It's one of them. Wayno is from there. But Wayne is over there. Wayne said he's looking over here looking like Joe Pesci's long lost twin. That's pretty good. Keep us up to date. King Meeks, keep us up to date. I see you talking about the game. Who's winning the women's game right now? All right. He'll tell us in a second. But, yeah. Oh, Sydney, Australia. Shout out to you, Wayne. So we have a lot of people that are international because what happens is their time is nighttime for or daytime. So he'll be watching this on his lunchtime most of the time. And so, or hanging out with the family. Today is Saturday for them. So happy Saturday. Happy next day. We're not there yet. We're trying. We're all falling in here. I want to ask one more question about this game before we move on, because I don't want to talk about it too much because it's been dead. But I want to ask about Jalen Duren. Thoughts on him just overall in the season that he's had. What do you think his outlook is moving forward? Because when I see Jalen Duren, I honestly see a monster, and everybody loves Jalen, how he's developed. But what do you see from him? Do you think that he can keep this trajectory going, or does he kind of flatten out at some point and just kind of become a normal big where he doesn't dominate the boards like he has?
I think the rebound is going to be there. You know, he's got a massive wingspan, and coming out of Memphis, like he had an NBA body. I didn't think he was going to have the type of impact that he's having this early on, but also he's on a team where it's a lot of young draft picks, Jaden Ivey, Cade Cunningham, and him. Like there's nobody on that team threatening his minutes. So it wouldn't surprise me if we just see him being a 15 and 15 double-double guy night in and night out. You know, he's not – I don't know. I know that he's probably averaging close to 10 rebounds right now, but I think that you see those numbers grow. I don't think that you see scoring so much from him because I think that that is going to come from other guys. But I think that he's going to stay on the board. So, yeah, he's at 14 and 12 this season. And, you know, I don't think it's going to go down from there. I think that you may see that go up a little bit, but he just has that frame. He's athletic. He can jump the length like that there. He has a lot of tools that are going to work for him to keep that rolling.
Yeah. And I think there is kind of a high floor to him, but also kind of a low ceiling to the point of he's going to give you what he gives you. And that's kind of, you know, as a coach, that's like your favorite thing. Like, hey, if I can find some consistency somewhere, I can put the outliers around that might have their peaks and their valleys. But as long as they, you know, peak and valley opposite of each other, or maybe we all peak at the same time, it can be exciting. If you have that consistency, you can kind of steer the ship for you a little bit. I like that. All right. So overall thoughts on Detroit Pistons, because I had a comment. I think it was one of the first ones in here. I would hate to be a Detroit Pistons fan because even with all that's happening right now with them, it just seems like they have no direction. So just thoughts on them, because me and Nate had disagreed on Cade Cunningham. I think he's fine. I think he can be like a 1C, maybe a 1B, maybe. I just don't think he's a 1A on a really good team.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Yeah, that's tough. He's got some young pieces around him, obviously, and like your supporting cast, even if you're a 1A, if your supporting cast is just not there, there's only so much you're going to be able to do.
Yeah.
And then how much of the time that he's missing is because of the situation they're in? Like, they're not playing to win right now. When they start playing to win, are we going to see those numbers creep up? I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know that I've ever put much thought into thinking, is he going to be like a 1A or a 1B guy? But if he's not 1A, I don't think that they have 1A on that team right now. Like, Duren is going to be a guy that's, you know, hard hat and lunch pail, coming out there double-double every night. Then you have Jaden Ivey. You're trying to figure out what he's going to be able to do. And I don't know that he is going to be a guy that'll be a 1A. I think he's a good role player, and that's fine. But, yeah, I don't. I've never looked at it through the lens of, is he actually going to be a 1A?
Because if he's your best player, like, that's your ceiling,
right?
Like that is, and I think he is a 30-win player personally. Like, if you even with what he has, like, how much better are they going to get with this draft that's upcoming? Like,
yeah,
it's loaded with bigs and role players. Like, they have that. They need the superstar, and I don't. And if that's not Cade, then they have to bring in somebody who can compliment him. But what position is Cade? that's my other question. I don't know.
I think I'm gonna put some of this on Monty Williams, right? Like, I don't know. Like, some coaches can coach talent.
Yeah.
Some coaches can develop talent, but not a lot of them can do both. And I don't know that Monty Williams is the right guy to take this team from a team that's rebuilding and develop these guys to where they can be a team that's going to be competitive. I might be wrong, and I'm fine being wrong with that. But, you know, like, for me, the only guy that could maybe make a difference for this team, if they land number one and they get Sarr, but then what are you putting him next to? You playing him as the four and Duren as the five? It's, you know, like, that there's, you can definitely play those guys together, because I think Sarr is quick enough to kind of, you know, he's going to be able to guard some guys out on the perimeter. Not that he's going to be matched up on them a lot, but there are a lot of people that think that he's more of a four than a five. So it's, but is he a star? And right now, and what he's doing over in Perth, our guy Wayno may be able to tell us a little bit more. He may have caught an NBL game over there and watched him live. But, you know, I think that that's a great question. I don't think that their 1A is in this draft. I think Sarr has quite a bit of upside. And next to him, I don't know. Like, for me, it'd be an argument at two right now, but I would say that he, coming out of this draft, there's, Cade is still going to be their 1A, right? Whether he can be that or not, I'm not sure.
Yeah. And that's what worries me, is like, you're talking about a guy who is fine. I like Cade a lot. I just don't know what you really have in him. I think he's great. I just think there has to be somebody better than him to be a really good team, in my opinion, but we'll see. You know, that's enough on the Pistons in general, but you did bring up a topic that I have been hitting on lately. And that is, let's say, you know, I'm going to give you these two scenarios and tell me if there's any chance in the world the Pistons would make the move. So let's say the lottery balls pan out and, the Pistons jump up to number one. Okay. Or let's say they fall all the way down towards the bottom. And they have the Grizzlies then jump up. Okay. So the Grizzlies are in a good spot. Pistons are in a worse spot. So either way, they're top or they're the very bottom, okay, of the 7-1 area. They want to go get Sarr. In either scenario, would they potentially make a trade off of Jalen Duren? Even though you said you could put them together, but would you potentially trade off of Jalen Duren and get back a one or two, you know, first round picks, plus maybe some pieces that might complement, you know, some other hard hitting, you know, kind of lunch pail guys. Would any of that make sense for the Pistons? Not the Grizzlies, because the Grizzlies, I think, would do it to get Jalen Duren next to Jaren. But would the Pistons even think about that? Is that even like kind of in their mind to even move off of him if they get a better big?
I don't know that there's a better big in this draft, right? Like, what do you – it's all about, I guess, how you're going to value these guys. And I think offensively, Sarr can be better than him. I don't think Sarr is ever, in it, even in his peak, going to be in the same class as Duren whenever it comes to rebounding. And defensively, I really think that Sarr is going to be north of him there, but I don't know if it's enough. I'm not sure that at his peak that Sarr is going to be that much better than Duren, that I'm going to make that move. It would have to be something. So if the Pistons ended up with seven and the Grizzlies got one,
right?
If I am the Pistons, I think that it's taking one and probably another first rounder to even consider that. And I still don't know that I'm making that move because I like Duren a ton. I think that he can be a defensive anchor on a team. And when you have guys like Cade Cunningham is not a great defender, you're going to have somebody behind him to pick up the slack somewhere. And I think Duren is that guy. Obviously, Sarr is fantastic defensively. But, I don't think that, for me, the ceiling for Sarr is not high enough that I'm moving off of Duren.
Okay. See, I think that the Pistons are in, like, purgatory. And I said that, like, they're in a bad spot, and I don't know what they're going to do. And, you know, and like No Bluffing Podcast was saying, shout out to Chris, if the Pistons could come away with, you know, let's just say, you know, like Sarr, like we were talking about, but also a connect maybe, because maybe the Grizzlies give up their pick. So now they have 1-7 or in any scenario, right? They're still top and bottom of the top 10. And then maybe a future first for Duren. Like, that has to be something they would look at. In my opinion, if I was the Pistons, I would say I'm bringing in a piece that might, you know, we've already seen Jalen Duren. He's awesome. But if he can bring back another player plus potential in a better draft, that has to be something that's on the table for me if I was running the team.
Yeah, that's fair. I guess in my head, I didn't go to the Pistons keeping their pick. Yeah. I was thinking, you know, like it was a swap.
A swap. No,
but, I think. But no, like that. Yeah, it would still be tough. I don't know. Obviously, I'm not in their head as far as their GM.
Right.
That would be a tough call. I think, you know, like the Grizzlies heading into next year, like say you're giving up next year's first round pick and you put like top five protections on it. The Pistons have got to know that this team is going to be significantly better. So that's going to be a late first round pick. And if you're looking at a later first round pick, are you going to get the kind of value that you want out of that if it ends up being, you know, mid to late 20s? Because, you know, the Grizzlies should be significantly better.
Right. It's so tough. It's to the point, like, I just think they're in such a weird spot that I think that they can make a lot of moves and it makes sense. And that's the biggest thing. But the one that we will not do, King Meeks, we're not going to trade Nate for Jalen Duren. All right. We're not going to do it. Nate's going to be back eventually, we think, unless he pulls his hamstring. All right. So let's go ahead and normally we go a little bit longer on this, but let's go ahead and hit the first break. And we come back here, we'll do Grizz trivia, and then we're going to load up with all of the questions. So we already have about 7 or 8 already. But as you have a question, we're going to hit a lot on the draft. But anywhere the questions take us, you're feel free to go wherever you want with the questions, guys. But just make sure you put in there hashtag David or hashtag whatever, just to get my attention so I can separate a lot of these questions. But let's go ahead and take our first break. We'll be right back here in 1 minute.
What do you think is more of a priority for this team? Because you're starting to hear a lot of rumors coming out about teams that are willing to make trades. I'm a big wing guy. This is Memphis. We barbecue and wing city. So I also understand the importance of big men. The best players in the league are all bigs.
If you're making a player in a lab, absolutely you want to build a Paul George player. You want to build the big wing, you know, Kevin Durant, whatever. Like
G.G. Jackson.
Yeah, or Gigi Jackson, which actually I was thinking about. Well, what about Gigi, Anthony? But unfortunately, those guys aren't out there. And like, even when you start naming specific names of guys you want to get, like the quality drop off goes down quick. I do think the Grizzlies' easiest avenue to immediately improving next year and getting on the cusp of like being, you know, like a Western Conference finalist, or maybe if you get all the great breaks going your way, is improving your center spot. Just because, but there's just more of those guys, I feel like, available to help you out.
Tune in to the Anthony Sain Show Wednesdays and Fridays at 12 p.m. weekly on the Bluff City Media YouTube channel.
All right, we are back. I am Daniel. That is David. He's subbing in for us. You can go follow David, NBA D Will 21. But tonight we're going to talk about a little bit more about the draft, but we're also going to hit on Grizz trivia. We're going to have David answer some questions. And so if you're in the chat, go ahead and hit the hashtag Dave. But let's go ahead and get into Grizz trivia. We have a Grizz trivia little draft style. So I hope you're going to be ready. All right, David, tonight, I hope you are smarter than Nate is, because normally these are a cakewalk for me. But they're always getting harder on my end because I'm the one that has to find the actual questions. So tonight, I'm going to make it draft related. So since the Memphis Grizzlies have been in Memphis, how many top 10 picks have they had? And chat, if you want to play along, feel free. But we're looking for top 10 picks. How many in the franchise history in Memphis have they have? I'll give you one of them, Ja Morant. I figured that'd be the toughest, but that was, you know, that's the one that I felt like I could give you. All right, so we have one guess from Goon the Shooter with 8. I'm not going to tell you if he's right, wrong, hot, cold. So I need you to wreck your brain. All right, we got the Black Ninja DJ with 10. And then real quick, King Meek said, Xavier Tillman hitting the game winner tonight out in Boston. Shout out to you, X-Man. All right, this is King Meek's favorite part of the show. It is, weirdly enough. It always catches Nate off.
Man, that's tough. Obviously, Jaren was 4. To beat was, he was Memphis.
He was 2nd. Yep. You have the last 3. I'll give you that. David is
Mike Conley. Conley was a top 10 pick. What was he? 5?
He was 4. David is playing in the live-action Yosemite Sam. I love it when we kind of run.
So let's see. Oh, are we counting like guys that came to Memphis, or like what? Like if they traded the pick?
Everybody, I believe everybody that I have calculated is played here in Memphis.
Okay.
This is tough.
It is, man. I'm trying to think through and then going back and because I like Bibby, but I can't remember.
That was before.
Yeah. And then
Memphis Grizzlies.
Stromile Swift was a top, like he was top 5. I can't remember exactly. So strange.
So the Grizzlies got here 01-02. And so the 01-02 draft is kind of where I'm starting at.
Okay. So 01-02. Battier. Was Battier before they moved to Memphis, or was he the first one when they were in Memphis?
Are you looking for a lifeline? Somebody give me a lifeline. that is correct. Battier
Battier's the first one. Okay, so Battier, Mike Conley to beat. Jaren Jai, that's only five.
Antonio Burks, I don't know.
Zaire Williams, six. So I'm going to go seven. I think it's seven. No? Okay. Nope. Who did I miss?
So we have Drew Gooden. Stromal Swib was. God, what year was he?
He was before, so year before. Yeah, like he was. That's I love Stromal Swib. He didn't pan out to be as good as I thought that he was going to be, but I was young whenever he was here, and so the dunks, like the big dunks, were always right. Something. He was one of my favorite old school Grizzly players.
Yeah, one of my favorite ones was the Grizzlies that they literally drafted Steve Francis. I don't know if you remember that back in the day for Vancouver. And then he demanded a trade. And yeah. So that's where their franchise just went downhill out.
And then like Kevin Love was drafted with the Grizzlies pick, but he didn't ever play here.
But they got OJ Mayo. Remember?
Okay. Yeah. That one draft night. Yeah.
Yep. All right. So let me read off the ones I have. I have Pau Gasol and Shane Battier.
Dude, how did I forget Pau?
I don't know. So Pau Gasol, Shane Battier. And then we have Drew Gooden, which you forgot on Drew Gooden. And then after that, we do go a couple years without any, which was big. And then we get to Mike Conley's year, which is 2007. And then it goes Mike Conley and then Kevin Love or OJ Mayo. I was going to give you either one, but either one. You can go OJ Mayo there. The beat, Jaren, Ja, Zaire. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 9 top 10 picks in Grizzlies history, unless I'm wrong, but 9 top 10 picks in Grizzlies history. It's so hard with NBA because you always look at when somebody leaves and then who they actually brought in, who played on the team. So it was hard to sift through that. But
And I don't even remember. Like, I remember them drafting Gooden now, but I don't remember him playing in Memphis. Like, I don't know how many years he played in Memphis. There was a time I had a couple year stretch where I didn't watch a ton of basketball.
Right.
And so like, I'm going to have to go and look that up, see what years he played. Do you know how many years he played in Memphis?
So he only played 2002-03 in Memphis.
Okay.
From what I'm looking at, but I remember him like it was yesterday. I guess it was one of the first seasons here. So it was the second season for the Grizzlies. And so he played in Memphis for one season and then they traded him to bring in Mike Miller.
Okay.
And to bring him back. So anyway, listen, it's fun. That's why we always do it. I just try to pick everybody's brain. I've had some weird ones, some crazy ones.
So I think okay, right? Like I miss Pau, which that's stupid. Yeah. Like I didn't
you even said bad. He'll get it.
Yeah. And then I didn't mention the Kevin Love. I didn't even at the time when you're on the clock, man, it's like I couldn't even think about OJ Mayo. So I'm terrible. I'm not any better than Nate. I don't know.
Nate's job is safe. All right. Let's go ahead and get past Grizz Trivia and let's get into a little bit of the questions for you. Before we get there, let's talk about one of our sponsors of Grizz Trivia, and that is Pew's Residential Spray. From flower shops to commercial landscape maintenance, Pew's has been around for 30 plus years servicing the Mid-South. But did you know Pew's also does residential lawn care? Pew's Residential Spray can take care of all of your weed control and fertilization needs. If you want that, create that perfect weed-free lawn, then call Pew's Residential Spray today for a free estimate, 901-633-2118, and let them know that the Grizz 901 crew sent you. Remember, with Pew's, you get the big company strength, small company values. It looks like we have a tough game right now if you're watching along with me. We are watching Iowa and UConn going at it. Caitlin Clark just hit a three and got fouled. Looks like she rolled her ankle a little bit. But she's good. All right. So UConn is up by one. All right. Let's get into these questions real quick. And two, where are they? Here they are. I quit clicking, double clicking. All right. I might've missed some. So if I, for some reason did, if I don't call it, go ahead and feel free to put it up there again. But let's start from the very beginning. Jess Bell says, do you believe in drafting for need or best player available?
I'm BPA all day long. That is that's been a constant argument on Grizz Twitter. And here's the deal: like if the Grizzlies fall at seven, and you're sitting there, and Donovan Clingan is your top grade, then pick him. That's a spot of need. But this team historically has just been terrible on the wing. I have no problems with them taking somebody, even though there may not be a path to minutes next year. Some of these guys are going to leave. Like, you can't sign everybody. You have GG Jackson, who has come out and played way better than anybody thought he would this year. And that's like a thank goodness for the injuries, because we wouldn't have, he would have been buried in South Haven. Yeah. So now you have those guys because of the injuries. And I don't think that you can ever have too many wings. Now, there are guys that you're looking at that size wise, but you know, like somebody that is a 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", like those bigger wings, I'm all about that.
Yeah. I'm the same way. Two quick questions. How do you feel about Lamar Stevens?
I don't think that he's a playoff rotation guy. Right. If he stays, I'm fine with it. If he goes, I'm fine with it too. I think that he is, I would put him in the same vein as X, right? Like, he's a guy that's good to have on the roster. He can play good spot minutes for you, but I don't think when it's really time for them to be super competitive that he's a guy that stays in the rotation.
Yeah, he's the coach's best friend to the fact of, just like John Conchar is, in my opinion. Like, he helps you through the regular season. Spot minutes, you can trust him, goes a long way. Mm-hmm. But when it comes down to it, he's not a guy that you have to have on the roster. It really helps you get through the season and through those tough parts, but he doesn't help you in the playoffs. Right. Maybe, but honestly, in your best case scenario, no, he should not be. All right, the other one, Yuta's obviously been out and been a question for personal reasons, and then he went to a wrist injury. Now he's back for personal reasons. Why is Yuta not playing, or what's going on with Yuta?
Your guess is as good as mine. I think that it's just they want to see some of these other guys. They had Yuta on this roster. They know what he can bring to the team. And so, yeah, let's see somebody else. And what we're up to, is it 40 people? Or was it like it's
I know they've had 32 right?
30, that yeah, played. Yeah. It was 40-something different starting lineups. Right. That's where I was getting the 40 from, yeah.
On Yuta, do you think he comes back next year? Because obviously he's under contract for $2 million, but he's obviously through his, I think it was a Japanese interpreter, saying that, you know, it's been a tough, you know, year on him, just, you know, kind of adjusting.
I don't know. Like, do I want him back next year? No, not really. I hope that they find better use of the money. I don't dislike Yuta. He's kind of in the same boat as Stevens to me. Like, I think that I would prefer Stevens over him, but, you know, I don't think the last 16 games of the season, last 16 wins, that's what matters. I don't care if they win 45 games to get in the playoffs or if they win 70 games to get in the playoffs. The championship is what matters, and those guys are not championship rotation pieces.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to this one. Wayno wants to know, knowing where we are when we're healthy, would it be better to move this upcoming pick for a veteran at center or make the pick?
That's a loaded question. I think a lot of it is what you're going to get in return. I don't think that there is anybody at the top of this, even if they landed one and they drafted Sarr, I don't know that I believe that Sarr is going to contribute to them winning the title next year. So he may find himself in the rotation because he does have that talent level, but yeah, if they can get enough value in return in trade, that would be my vote. But I don't know how other teams are going to value these guys. So I'm not sure that they could get the kind of value that you'd be looking for.
Yeah. All right. Let me ask this 2-part question. One, what center would be ideal for you? Like, what big man or vet or center that's not Nikola Jokic, like, or Joel Embiid? Like, who is a guy that would be perfect, whether they're gettable or not gettable? Like, what's your perfect guy that you would love to have on this team? Like, that makes the most sense.
Honestly, like, not even a big reach. I think a guy like Bobby Portis would play pretty good next to Jaren, and he's not a guy that's going to cost a ton of money. You need somebody that's going to set screens and rebound and not demand a lot of shots. You know, like Jonas Valanciunas, right? He can rebound the ball, but he wants shots.
Right.
So, like, he's not going to be a good fit to come back. I see Goon in the chat said Naz. I love Naz Reid, but they just signed him to an extension. You're going to have to pay a ton to go and get him. But I think there's a lot of discourse around Jaren at the five. Can he be that guy? And it's all about who you have around him. And is there a magical name that you can plug in? I can't give you, hey, this is exactly who you need beside him. But Brandon Clark may be that guy. You may already have that guy on the roster. So, to me, if dream case scenario, somebody like, I would say, Rudy Gobert. That would be my dream.
Just completely size, defense, doesn't need the ball on offense. That's pretty much your pick and roll kind of guy.
Yeah. Okay. And like, if you play Rudy Gobert at the five and you let Jaren roam at the four, it's going to be absolute hell for opposing teams in the paint. Like, it's going to be nasty. And I hate Rudy Gobert. I can't stand him. But if you look at Steven Adams and what he brought to this team, Rudy Gobert is an upgrade from that. And so I think that would be perfect. Gobert is going to get his points by getting offensive rebounds and putting the ball back in and getting fouled. So he's not going to have possessions. And he's a freaking just nemesis on the defensive end of the floor.
I knew we'd have somebody make a comment about Rudy Gobert. Called him a soft cookie.
King Meek's cutting me no slack tonight. I can handle it, man.
Coming for the throat. All right, let's get to LL Nope Jones says, what do you think the backup point guard for us, and what do you think the Bigs rotation is going to look like?
Backup point guard, I don't know. I think there are some free agents that they could sign, and I don't know the contract situation. I would have to kind of look. But there are guys that you can go out and get on the minimum that would be able to play. Like, I like Derrick Rose, but we can all sit here and collectively say that Derrick Rose is done. He just can't stay healthy. I love his veteran leadership. But you got to get a guy that can be the backup point guard. And with the way that Vince has played with the ball in his hand, Desmond Bane with the ball in his hand, like, you have guys on this roster that can kind of fill in. So to me, that position is not. I think that it is a need, but I don't think that they have to go out and spend a lot of money on it. So just DeLon Wright is a guy that comes to mind as a cheap player that is good defensively and takes care of the basketball, somebody of that nature. Bigs rotation, I think you're looking Jaren, Brandon Clark, Aldama, and then either draft or trade for the fourth big, whoever that may be.
Wow. And then you can always stash, because we already have him stashed. We already have Trey Jamison, which is a good addition to bring in two spot minutes. I don't know. So Anthony Sain's saying that Marcus Smart's going to be Ja's backup. Like,
Sain, you think he's coming off the bench? You think that? I wouldn't be completely shocked.
But. No, I wish it would happen, but I do think that the way they could, spend the minutes, they could always, play them together to start to maybe, coddle everybody's ego, and then spin out early with either Smart or Ja and bring them back in and just flip it like that. I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, I do think that Smart could be. The only problem is, like, what do you do with Derrick Rose? Because he's on the roster. I love Derrick Rose. You can't just release him, just straight off release him. You can't do that. Because that looks weird. That gets a lot of flack in Memphis, and Memphis is touchy. So they'll have to be careful with that. But I do think that we need to move off of Rose somehow and get somebody different. All right, let's keep going because there are a lot in here. I did that one. All right, Black Ninja DJ. I knew he would have a bunch. Who do you view as a mid-lottery sleeper in this draft? Like a Giannis, Halliburton, Kawhi kind of sleeper, if there is one. Like somebody that you just kind of love.
I think that I'm probably higher on Ron Holland than a lot of people.
Okay.
He didn't have a great year in the G League, but I like his size and his athleticism. I think that he's a guy that's probably going to go back into the lottery or maybe just outside of the lottery that could be a really good player. I don't know that, you know, it's tough to say that, you know, did they know that Giannis at 13 right. was going to turn into the best player in the league? No. And like those guys that you list, like Halley is he's quickly rising up the ranks. Like he's an excellent player, but Ron Holland would be the guy that I feel like I'm higher on than anybody else.
Yeah. And like you were saying, you can get Ron Holland probably outside the top 10, depending on maybe any kind of something that happens during the draft process, but more than likely you can probably get him outside the top 10. It just depends on, do you want to take the chance and fall back? Like that would be the biggest thing. But I do like Ron Holland. I liked his, especially coming out of, I guess it was high school in a sense, coming up and going to the G League. Like it was a guy that everybody loved. And then he's not been that bad. Just the G League has not been good or the G League Ignite has not been good for these guys. It just hasn't. Just overall. All right, let's get to the next one. This is a little bit of a change up, but obviously it's from King Meeks. Who do you think will win it all this year? We're looking to make some money. We need you to tell us somebody good.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough to unseed the Nuggets. Like they learned how to win last year. That I think the road to the championship runs through them.
Yikes. Unfortunately, I love the Nuggets too, but it's just boring. But
yeah.
I love Jokic. All right, Black Ninja DJ again. God, it's a long one. I can't even say this guy's name. How do you feel about that guy? Yep, that one. Fluidity, feel for the game intrigues him. Also, the athleticism, playmaking ability to pair, you know, kind of versatility on the wing.
Yeah, you know, I said earlier, I don't feel like they could ever have too many wings. And he's a guy that's probably going to go top three. So they would have to be in the top three in order to get him. And I would love it. If Sar is off of the board, he would be my next choice for the Grizzlies.
Okay. Hey, let's. I'm going to follow back up with that one with another one from Black Union DJ. Same exact thing, but his current draft opinions and kind of share your thoughts on this for the Grizzlies are, I guess this is his big board. Sar, Klingon, and then maybe Connect, you know, maybe in that order. Then the wild card being the guy you just said, the Rishashar, and then the sleeper, Devin Carter, which is Anthony Carter's son.
I'm not interested in Connect at all. I'm not going to say too much about Tennessee because, you know, I know there's some Vols fans, but I have no faith that dude is going. He's a great basketball player, but I think that he is a great college basketball player. I'm not sure that what he has is going to translate at the NBA level.
Hey, feel free. Hey, stand on it, baby. Stand on it. All right. Another one, Key Mix. What's your thoughts on Zach Edey?
Dumpster fire. Like he's 7'4". He's hitting all of these baby hook shots over dudes that are 6'8", 6'9". When he gets to the league, he's going to get bodied.
Yeah.
Like I think that he, because of his size, like he will be an end of the bench big man in the league, but there's less than 1% chance that he does anything close to what he's doing whenever he gets to the league. He's big and slow, doesn't move his feet that well. Fast guys in the NBA are going to tear him apart, and he's not going to be able to get those easy buckets in the league like he is in college ball.
Staying on that, do you think that the DJ Booth himself, DJ Burns, is just completely obliterated by Zach Edey because, you know, with NC State, he's so big, he kind of can muscle up these guys. But Zach Edey obviously has the height, the size on him. Like, yeah. I think that it's going to push up Zach Edey's draft stock even more when he takes on a guy who's this big, because it's going to look like to the naked eye that Zach Edey is just so dominant. Like, do you think that's how the game will play out? Or you think a big guy can kind of push him around?
I think that he can hold his own, but what I'll say is if your draft stock in this dude changes that much over one game, that you didn't do enough research on him, man. Like it just that I have no faith that Edey is going to be anything other than just big and on a roster because he's big.
So friend of the show, Ryan Meadows, who's a big draft guy, he's been blowing me up all week talking about a ESPN draft guy. And he's like, this guy has moved up all his guys that are still in the tournament. He keeps raising them up because of his opinion changing. Literally, a guy can't jump 20 spots if you've been doing work all year or the last couple of years on a. He goes, that just shows that he's not doing the work. He goes, I never trust those guys. And when you said that, I just like couldn't stop grinning ear to ear because I could hear him. I could hear Ryan say the same thing. It's crazy.
Yeah. You should have, like, at this point in the season, if we're talking about college guys, you should pretty well have them where they're going to be. If you have a small shift, one or two positions, okay, that's fine. But the tournament is wild. Like, you see guys that make their name in the tournament, the WWE. Let's go. Karl Malone, Dennis Rodman type rematch stuff.
Hey, who's the guy that the Grizzlies still own the draft rights to? Satnam Singh. He was here the other night with Jeff Jarrett in Memphis for wrestling night. They own the draft rights and to him because he retired as a Grizzly, even somehow in the trade. And Satnam Singh is now with AEW being a wrestler because he's ginormous. That's what Zach Edey wants to be.
Let's go promote that. Get that going. Get it going.
He's a Wayne is saying he's a poor man's taco.
Taco Fall. Taco Fall was Edey's a little bit better offensively than Fall, but yeah, just big.
Poor man's from Bill Walton and Sean Bradley.
Dude, Bill Walton was a baller. I don't think Edey's on their level at all.
Hey, a throwback. Jake Sokolidis.
Okay.
Wow. All right. Let's keep going. I have two or three more. So if you have any before we kind of close up, go ahead and send them out. But we've asked that Zach Edey. These are two from Wayno. Who's the bench player most likely ending up playing elsewhere? So who's a guy on the roster, maybe in the bench guy, that you could see being sent out? Because would you send out?
A lot of them. Like LaRavia can go, Stevens can go. Like a lot of these dudes that are into the bench right now are not guys that are going to be on the roster. But Ja, Jaren, Bain, Smart, Gigi, Vince Williams, and BC. Anybody not named them can kick rocks.
Wow, I like that.
Make sure I didn't miss anybody.
I was just thinking.
I think
Ja, Jaren, Bain. And then you said Smart, Gigi, BC, and Vince.
Yep.
So that's seven. So, question, is that your seven out of the eight for let's say playoff rotation?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty strong playoff rotation. You're looking at probably adding a big in there, you know, that's what I think it should look like. You have a lot of versatility there. Same mention, you know, like the combo guards in chat, and you have multiple guys in that can handle the ball. Gigi at South Carolina handled the ball. He hasn't had that opportunity as much at this level, but I think that's just kind of Taylor Jenkins loves to develop guys by putting them in the corner and you just be a catch and shoot 3-point guy. See Desmond Bain year one, Brandon Clark a lot. Almost any of these other wings, you see them standing in that corner waiting for the ball. So, you know, yeah, I just lost my train of thought, honestly.
That's okay.
I have no idea where I was going with it.
Nope, I like it. Before we're there, so we don't kind of lose your train of thought again, one more thing you might need is some food. You can always call Heaven's Healthy Kitchen. It's a grassroots business that would start right here in Memphis. Chef Smith is a Memphian that promotes healthy eating and wellness. He is the sponsor of our guest right here, and that is David Williams. Are you looking to cook at home? Go get Chef Smith cookbook right off of Amazon. Download it today. Heaven's Healthy Kitchen continues to do the monthly pop-ups, which is the 7th. Go over to Order HHK now and put in your pre-order. Want to do that. The menu, I have it. I completely forgot to pull it up. But I know it's Chicken Savior, which is it's still healthy. It's still vegan, even though it says chicken. How you do that, I don't know. I don't know what's fake about it or not fake or what it's made of. What's chicken made of if it's not chicken, David?
Chickpeas.
I don't know either. There's also, so you get chicken savior sandwich with potato wedges for $13, vegan oxtail plate for $15. It's oxtail. I guess it's vegan. Red beans and rice plate is $12. Alkaline lemonade with chlorophyll. Did you know you can drink chlorophyll? Is it that's good?
Did not. Was not aware of that.
It's really good, actually, because I've had the lemonade is worth the $17 itself. It's amazing. They also have peach cobbler for $6. The St. Lucian sea moss gel. Did you know that sea moss gel is a thing?
Never heard of it. Learned kinds of new stuff tonight.
But you got to pre-order tonight. So go over to orderhhk.com. Heaven's Healthy Kitchen has been with us from day one this season. So we want to make sure we give them some love. But our guest sponsor is Heaven's Healthy Kitchen. All right, let's get to the last few and we'll get you out of here running up on time. All right. Stop. I already did that one. So ask Dave on the next one is what's your most unpopular opinion about this team? My favorite question.
I don't know that Taylor Jenkins is not the guy. If this team wins a championship with him at the helm, it's going to be in spite of him, not because of him.
Hmm.
I don't know that might be.
No, that's probably unpopular. Think,
but yeah, I don't have. You look at he gets a pass this year because of the injuries. But some of the issues that he has that we've witnessed over these last few years when this team was playing well, those same things are still occurring this year. It's just not as glaring because nobody's expecting this team to win. And I just coaches can grow and develop. I get that, but I don't know that he has it in him. And unless they get a guy on the bench that will challenge him and that can make in-game adjustments, they're not winning it with him.
Question, what's his biggest, I know you just said it, so I'm probably going down that path, but what's his biggest issue or your biggest issue with him as a coach?
I think the changes, he can watch and make the changes. Like we saw him make adjustments in the series, but in the game, you didn't really see that from him. Like, I think that's something that, hopefully we see growth from him. I've not seen much at all from him in the years that he's been here. He's obviously had a pretty good run, but some guys are good to develop your team. And then you need somebody else, you know, Mark Jackson and Steve Kerr. Mark Jackson helped develop that team. And then Steve Kerr took him over the top. I hate talking about them. I don't really particularly like Steve Kerr, but it's kind of what it is.
It's the model, right? It's what you draw from. Last question on that before I get to the last ones. So that is obviously it's an unpopular, but it's a lot of people's opinion as well as, you know, some is not. But I will ask, like, who is a guy that let's just say that the Grizzlies have a just a normal season, nothing too flashy, good or bad, just a normal season. And then let's say they lose in the second round. Are you moving on from Taylor Jenkins? Just without the extracurriculars known about anything bad happened, just a ho-hum, you win the first round, lose in the second round.
I would like it if they would. I don't know that will happen, but yeah, I would.
Who would you go get? Is there anybody on top of your head that you're like, hey, I want that guy? Not saying he's available, but
first call is Becky Hammond.
Really? Okay.
Yep.
Is that because you saw with Pop, the Aces.
Yeah, you look at that Aces team, and obviously they made some roster moves, and that team is incredible. But she took that team to a different level, and that wasn't on accident. Like that, she's a hell of a coach, and that would be my first call. That some of these rerun guys, I don't want to see. You know, I can't even think of his name. The dude that came went to the Suns and went to the Knicks, and then you heard his name again for the Nets, D'Antoni. He's gotten so many opportunities, and then in the playoffs, he's just ass. He just can't get it done. His playoff record is terrible. Becky Hammond would be number one, and then I don't know. I don't have No plan B because it distracts from plan A. Becky Hammon.
I just need her to say yes. Just say yes, Becky. All right, these are the last two, and we're going to get you out of here. This is a lottery pick question again. Which do you see any that could slide in the draft?
Man, I hate to bet against Kentucky guards, but Reed Sheppard's gotten a lot of hype recently. Mm-hmm. And at 6'3", I think that he is more of a two than a one. And so that kind of puts you in a weird spot because at 6'3", if you're not an elite defender, it's tough to play the two. And Sheppard is not an elite defender. So I think that he's a guy that we might see slide. And a lot of that depends on what happens in the lottery, which teams are out there.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I'm not drafting anybody in the top 10 that I can't play with my superstar player. And that's a rule for me. And honestly, I'm not drafting a white guy in the top 10. That's another rule for me. Just not. Like, look in the league. They're not as good. Now, I'm talking about American. Now, if you want to go European, that's fine.
Yeah. So not even if the Grizzlies land at 7 and Klingon's on the board, you're not taking him at 7?
I don't want a white guy. Like, they're not good in the league.
Yeah. Hey, I'm on board honest. With it, man.
I'm white. Listen, I see them. I see. Yeah. They're just I like Klingon. I think he's great. I don't really need to go get a center that's going to be a backup, like a top 10 player. Like, but this draft is a little bit weird. So maybe I might say okay on Klingon for this year because he is probably, in my opinion, the best center in the draft. But either way, all right. No questions for me. This is for you. All right. Last one. Grizzlies consider trading Luke to free up money and then have the MLE as well. Like, any thoughts that the Grizzlies would move on from that?
I'm not opposed to it. I don't know how Kleiman is going to – I know, you know, obviously he's a Duke guy. We've seen a ton of Duke players come through here since Kleiman's been at the helm. But you look at this roster and you know – are you confident if you don't go get another – if you don't go get a big, a true big – you're going into next season with Aldama, BC, Jaren, and my brain is shutting down. Who's a
Jaren, BC, Trey Jamison, and Aldama is it?
Okay, yeah. So, like, your big rotation is lacking. Like, it's not strong enough.
No,
with those guys. So, I have to get, you have to give up something good in order to get something good. There are some free agents that are going to be out there, but Memphis is, you know, it's been tough, like going out and getting free agents. When you have star players, when you have a guy like Ja Morant, talent usually wants to come to play with other talent. So maybe that will entice some guys moving up, like moving down the road. But I don't know that we're there. I think that Morant is going to have to prove something coming back off of, you know, the suspension and then now the injury this year. Can you come out and stay healthy and, you know, stay on track?
Yeah. Sometimes the comments come up and I kind of break a little bit. And this one made me break a little bit as you were talking. But this is sincerely from everybody in the chat. We love kind of putting everybody through the ringer because it is a good time. It is fun. But as Dave as Wayno speaks for us, thanks for being a good sport. Great having you on the show, but even if you do look like an aged Charlie Brown,
I'll work on the come over for the next one.
That was awesome. All right. So, where can people find you or anything you're doing right now? Cause I know you're taking a step back, but, where can kind of people follow you along, the journey? And obviously you're an OG with the Grizzlies. And so you kind of know a little bit, you've been around for a while.
Yeah, so I mean, I'll still be on Twitter and I still get on and talk Grizzlies on Twitter a little bit. As far as like work right now, I'm a guest here and there on different places, but just focusing on health, man. You know, it's a stroke is a scary word and don't know what's going to come after that, but going to make sure that I get this stuff under control and then I'll be back. I don't know if that's going to be more draft coverage rather than Master Chief vibes. All right. Yeah, Halo, I can dig it. But yeah, I'm not sure. I really like the draft stuff. And so that's something that, that I may look into, but I'm definitely still going to be around and talking Grizzly stuff on Twitter. And that's at NBA D Will.
Yeah. Follow him at NBA D Will 21. But also by all means, so we go live once the season's over, We go live every Tuesday at 8 o'clock. One, join us if you'd like to, but also if you have draft information, you're more than welcome to hop on the show and share any information. We're going to have our draft guys on as we go throughout leading up to that point. And then we'll kind of carry this into a little bit of the summer league. But Dave, can't thank you enough, man. It's been fun kind of getting to know you, but also just kind of having you on here, even though this is, you know, the people, our chat's always here. They're always having a good time. But these shows are so smaller compared to the middle of the season. I think everybody is worn out, just like all of us.
It's tough, man.
It is. All right, but that's all we got. We will be not here tomorrow night. I don't have any plans for being here. It is Mark's retirement ceremony, so it'll be right after the game. So no reason to have a post-game show. The next game we have, I believe it's Tuesday. And so we're going to have Francis Carlotta from Bluff City Media with us. And so he'll be joining here. And I believe we're going to have Ryan Meadows, who, guys, he's not going to be doing his internet from Mars this time. I believe he just got fiber out in his neck of the woods. So it's going to be crazy, but he might actually not just kind of freeze every 2 seconds. But that's all we got. David Kent, thank you enough for being on here. Guys, we'll see you all Tuesday night. Be nice and tell your friends.